Sunday mornings as I'm getting ready and stuff. She's like, can you just quiet it down some? I'm like, man, I just love to worship. And there's a great power that there's in worship. And just recently, you know, I've just been meditating on that, what the power is that we have in worship. And my mind went back to when King David was just a young lad, and King Saul wasn't reigning, and an evil spirit had come onto King Saul, and David came in there, and he started playing his harp, and he started worshiping God, and the evil spirit fled. That's the power we have when we start worshiping God. You know, and even when we don't feel like worshiping, just because we don't feel like worshiping, start to worship. And as I read through Psalms and stuff, you know, I really appreciate how David was open with his life and the things that he struggled with, you know. And he's always, at times, you know, he comes to God and he's frustrated. He's like, God, you just left me. Why? But at the end of every psalm that he writes, he blesses the Lord and he prays God. And one psalm that really sticks out to me is where he's there and he's telling his soul. He said, he's literally telling his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. There's at times we have to literally come forth and start just speaking that forth and saying, you know, bless God because he is good. And it just really encourages me. And as we come together and as we sing together and as we worship God together, you know, and at times there's remarks made of that, you know, well, I can't sing, you know, I can't sing and like other people do. But, you know, in the scriptures, it doesn't say that you have to sing in perfect harmony or sing on key or on tune and being right on time. It says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, so it doesn't matter if you can't sing on key. What matters is that you are singing from your heart, from deep within, and making a joyful noise and rejoicing to God. So I just encourage each one of us just to rejoice in the Lord and make a joyful noise. And as I was, you know, thinking of those things, there's just another thing that just came to my mind, you know, and this is the seventh day of the week. You know, and then my mind went to Joshua when they went to overtake Jericho. You know, they walked, God told them to walk every day around the walls of Jericho one time, but they had to be silent through that whole week. There's at times we face difficulties and situations in our lives, and there's silence there. God says, be still and know that I am God. And as you go through that, but as we come together this morning, as we come together on that seventh day, shout unto the Lord for what he has done for your week. And those walls and the barriers and strongholds will be broken. You know, it's just really an encouragement for my own self. And at times I find myself struggling at that, but yet I have to tell myself, worship the Lord. Because he is worthy of being worshipped. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we can come together and that we can worship you in freedom. Not having any outside hindrancing of stopping us for being able to freely come and openly worship you. For there's others who have to sneak into places and hiding places to worship you. And God, I just thank you for that freedom we have in this nation. And Lord, that we don't neglect it, but that we come forth and that we exercise what we have in you. Father, I just bless each one here this morning. I just thank you for bringing them forth this morning, that we can come together and worship together and fellowship together and build each other up and be a strength, be an encouragement. God, I give you thanks. And Lord, as we come forth today and as we come into your word, that your word speaks forth life and truth, and that it builds us up and strengthens us. And Father, that as we go throughout each day, that the things we do and say are to your glory and honor, and that it impacts those who we are around. And Father, I just give you thanks in Jesus' name. You know, we've been going through a series of being overcomers. And this morning we're going to be reading in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. this is a referencing, I believe this is talking of after they have actually lived their life, and they're coming before the Christ in the end, when Jesus returns. This is what is reflecting of what they did as they lived here on earth. And that's for us today as well, is knowing that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, there's great power in your testimony of what God has done for you. And holding that within is giving Satan a leeway in your life. Whenever you speak what God has done in your life unto someone else, because I know when people share their testimony with me or with anyone else, and I hear their testimony, there's things in their testimony that I can relate with. That I'm like, wow. You know, I was been struggling with similar things, and God has given me victory. Or if I'm even struggling with that at this point in time, or at that point in time when that testimony is being shared, it is an encouragement to me that God will break through. That there is power. There's power in your testimony. And don't compare your testimony to someone else's. Because your testimony that God has done in your life is an equal powerful as someone who has been struggling through many great things and stuff throughout their life. Because the same price was paid for you as it was for anyone else. It has the equal amount of power. And as I was reading through these passages, you know, I just had to reflect back of different things God has done in my own life that sometimes I have a tendency to forget, just push it back and keep moving on. And I just had to think, and reflecting back of what God has done, where he has brought me from to where he has me now, and the things that he's doing in my life right now. God is worthy to be praised through those times. And it's just knowing that God has always been there for me. But it's myself, have I actually allowed God to do what God wants to do in my own life? You know, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus. He gave his life for us. That was an ultimate sacrifice that God did for us. He did the purifying sacrifice, a spotless, blameless, without blemish sacrifice for our sins, and that's what it took for our sins to be covered and to be redeemed, so that we become overcomers, that we become conquerors. And even through tribulating times, we experience different circumstances that almost seems to be overwhelming, and it seems to come, and it's just like, God, this is too much. I can't handle this. And there's often been a phrase that's been referred to that, you know, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That phrase isn't true. God gives you more than what you can handle, but he makes an escape. Because God gives you more than you can handle so that you turn to God and that he can be glorified and that he can break through, because he's the ultimate power. So that I can't say, yeah, I did this. I broke through this and I got through this. No, I can't do it. But with the power of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and believing that I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm able to break through. And you know, even when we are struggling and in difficult circumstances, before I knew Christ, when situations came forth and I was struggling and there was no hope, I had no strength, there was no peace, there was turmoil. You know, just this might seem like just a little petty thing, which actually, I mean, looking back, it was similar to a kind of petty thing, but this is reality. When I was young, I had collected, you know, at that time I had a job and wasn't making a whole lot of money, but I had things of my own, materialistic things. You know, I had some guns, I had this and that. You know, and you hear these terror stories of people breaking into houses and while you're sleeping and they steal your stuff, you know. And I was terrified. I'm like, you know, what if someone breaks through and steals my guns and then they're gone? I didn't want to kill a person, so I didn't put a gun beside my bed, kind of justifying myself. But anyways, So I had a baseball bat for, you know, I just knock them out cold and drag them out, whatever. And so I was, you know, I was struggling with this. Every night when I went to bed and sleeping, you know, I was just struggling with this. You know, like, what if someone comes in? And it was terrifying me. I had no hope. I had no peace. And one night the Lord spoke to me through that. And he's like, why are you striving over that? It doesn't belong to you anyways. And if you cling to that, it can be easily taken away from you. He says, give it to me. I'll protect it. I'll take care of it. If someone takes it, big deal. It's just materialistic things that will rot and disappear. And then I had to think of the scripture passage where it says, don't lay up treasures on this earth that rust and moss can come and destroy it, or someone can come in and steal it. But it says, more so, lay up treasures in heaven that are uncorruptible. You know, and with this message this morning, it's more of, and it's just really ministered to me, of keeping my focus not on this earth. This isn't my kingdom. This isn't the kingdom that I belong to. The kingdom that I belong to is an eternal kingdom. To keep my focus on a God eternal kingdom, that's where my mind needs to be set on, because we're just pilgrims on this earth. I'd like to turn to John 16. John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you have overcome the world. So be in good cheer. It's hard. It's difficult. At times when things are really crushing down on you, and you're facing circumstances in your life that are just almost overwhelming at times, but be of good cheer. As Paul writes, you know, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 20. Romans 16, verse starting in verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, you're overcomers through Jesus Christ. There is a living hope by the blood of Jesus, that no matter what Satan comes against you with, you will overcome if you stay steadfast in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 57. But thanks be to God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So continue to press on in God. Continue to seek it out and not give up. I'd like to read Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. These are scripture passages that has just been encouraging to me, and that has just been a continual reminder over and over again. Through Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. And there is a living hope. And don't be defeated. Don't let Satan make you believe that you are defeated. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So speak forth the word of God. Taking on the whole armor of God is very, very important. Continue in the whole armor of God. You know, take on the breastplate. The breastplate of faith, of righteousness. Gird your loins with truth. Because the enemy comes in and he brings forth so many truths, but yet he can take one single word out of a scripture passage and add a few letters, and the passage is meaning a whole different thing. He did it in the garden with Adam and Eve. You know, God told them if they will eat off the tree of life, they will surely die. And what did Satan tell them? You will not die. There's many different ways that Satan comes forth. You know, he even used it on Jesus. He said, you know, you're the Son of God. You know, command this stone to be bread. He took the truth, knowing that there is power there, and he twisted it just a little bit. So be careful. Be very careful. Know the truth. There's nothing wrong. When someone speaks something of Scripture, there is nothing wrong. And I highly encourage you, and I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you, no matter what I preach, I want you to go and compare it to Scriptures. Does it line up? And if it doesn't, please come and tell me. Because that's the last thing I want to do, is deceive you. Not only will it affect your life, but on judgment day, if I have deceived you, your blood will be on my hands, and I'll be accountable for that. And I do not want that. So I really encourage you to compare what I say with the Scriptures. And if there's anything in there that I have said that doesn't line up, please come to me. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, of believing and knowing who God is, and that he is your protector, your provider, and speaking forth the truth, and sharing the word of God, and believing it, Satan loses all power. But he won't stop coming back. Just continue to press on. And whenever you speak the words of God and you proceed forward in that, Satan has to flee, because he can't stand it. He can't withstand that power that is in the power of the word. In 1 John 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Do we believe it? Do I believe that? No matter what I face, Do I believe that what is within me, the Spirit of God, is greater than my circumstances of this world? In John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and they love not their life unto death?" There again, they love not their life unto death. And that's one thing I want to kind of focus on too. So often, it's about me. That is not eternal minded for God. Now hear me out. There's two different eternal minds. There's two different places in eternity. One is heaven and the other is hell. When I'm talking about eternal minded, I'm talking about eternal minded heaven. Having my focus on the kingdom of God. Even though there's on this earth, there's a difference between earth and the world. Because God has created us. And when he created Adam, he says, you have dominion over the whole earth. When they fell into sin, that is when the kingdom of the world was established and had power. The world is referring to Satan's kingdom. There's a big difference there. But as being eternal-minded, the kingdom of God, having my focus on God, I want to do the things of God, and it's not about me, what I deserve, what I think I should have, what I think should be happening in my life. When I come before God, and I ask him, and I seek after him for simply as a healing or anything it may be, protection, whatever it may be in my life, is my mind on for my own beneficial kingdom building of my own self? Or is it for the glory of God and knowing and recognizing that he is God? This last weekend we were in Michigan visiting family, and we were at our church, and they had the church that we were there with, and they had a conference. We were planning on going to the CMC conference in Ohio, and I was throughout the past couple of weeks where I was in contact with my sisters, and they had said that our yearly annual conference that we normally have there at our old church was this last weekend as well, and I was like, last year we weren't able to make it, and I really wanted to see some of our old my good friends and that I don't very often get to see, and we were there, and one of the brothers in the church, he had shared on. And it just kind of reflected back to this passage of being eternal minded. He'd shared on how I'm not sure if it was his, I can't remember if it was his sister or a family member, whatever it may be, was sick. And he's like, I'm going to do a fast. I'm going to fast for this, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray for healing. So he said, I did the fasting, and then I went and did the prayer for healing, and there wasn't any healing that came forth. But he said, then God had spoke to me, and he said, what it was is like, God, why didn't you heal? And he said, I was like, God, why don't you heal? I prayed and fasted for this. I fasted for this. And he said, that was where the problem was. He said, the problem was that I did the fasting to do an expectation of, to a certain degree of meriting. Okay, God, I did this. Now you have to do that. That's not how God works. He didn't do the fasting or the praying for it, for the benefit and the glory of God. He didn't do it with a pure heart of having his eyes focused on Jesus. And he said, I had to repent from that. And that was just an encouragement to me. That was just a reminder of looking into my own life. How often do I do it for a beneficial for myself, to build up my own self-esteem? And then pride comes in, and then it builds on, I have to be so careful. Because when God calls you into the ministry, or even when God saves you, you do this for God and you do that for God. Next thing you know, I don't know if you struggle with it, but I do. I get proud. Oh, look what I did for the Lord. That is not of God. You know, I have to think of the first two commandments, the commandments that God gave, and they're the most important commandments, and that is to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. But then right after that, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Not building myself up, but thinking that I'm better than anyone else, or thinking that I've got, that I'm more qualified, or that just because that person hasn't known Jesus yet, and that he is struggling with alcoholism or whatever it may be, that I'm better than him. Absolutely not. I'm not better than anyone else. And God does not like a proud heart. And oftentimes, you know, I was just thinking through these things, and God has just been ministering to my own life. Where has my focus been lately? Has my focus been lately on my job? Has my focus been lately on getting a house? Has my focus been lately on the materialistic thing of this world? There's nothing wrong with the materialistic things of this world, of having those things. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as that isn't where my heart is. Because God blesses those who diligently seek after him. But we are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. For this earth is not our home. We're just pilgrims going through this earth. God has put us here on this earth, each individual of us, for his glory and for his honor, to worship him, to praise him. And I like to read in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 13 says, these all have died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And we were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, this is from the Old Testament men of faith who have heard and who believed, and they were persuaded, and they could see it coming afar off. The Redeemer, where the blood of the Lamb would be shed on the cross for all of our sins, that we have an open way, that we don't have to go through an earthly high priest, that we don't have to take things of this earth, a bullock or whatever it may be, and sacrifice them, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. We have direct connection through Jesus Christ, who is interceding for you night and day, who is there on the throne, on the right-hand throne of God. Through him, we have direct connection to God. They didn't have it, but yet they believed it. And they died in their faith. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. This world is not our home. We continue to battle against this world that we live in. We continue to battle against our own flesh and blood. But our warfare is not against our own flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. And through Christ Jesus, he has given us the weapons. He has given us everything we need to fight those battles. And yet God even fights for you and I. He is our provider. He is our strength. So as reflecting through this, I had to ask this question to my own heart. Where are your treasures? What is my focus? Am I willing to take time whenever is needed when someone is in need, even if he's not my brother and sister in Christ Jesus? Someone who is hurting. Am I going to take the time and stop and give them a word of encouragement? Just stop and ask them how they're doing. It has a great impact, a greater impact than I think that I oftentimes that I don't realize and I don't believe, and that I just push on, well, I don't have time for that. Is my focus on gain somewhere else? And as I was taking through this time, you know, and the Lord has just been speaking to my own heart, and I just want to share to you what God has been ministering to my own heart. He's been cleansing me. He's been ministering to my heart and exposing things in my own heart through this time that I have to do some backtracking and saying, Lord, continue to press on into my heart that I don't forget this. You know, having an eternal minded, another aspect of it is giving my best no matter what. When I go to work, do I do my very best to whomever I'm working for? Do I do my very best for my own boss? And furthermore, Do I give my very best when I come to worship the Lord? Do I do give my best to each one of you? Or do I want to hold that back for my own self? Thinking, I'll save that for something else. And I had to think with that, when I come before the Lord, everything that I do here on earth, no matter if it's in my workplace, if it's in church, if it's in my own home, no matter what I do, I need to do it for the Lord. And am I giving my very best that others see the blessing of God? I just had to think, and then my mind went back into Genesis. In chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 4, it says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and Abel, bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings, but unto Cain and to his offerings he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. As I was thinking of that, Abel brought his very best that he had when he offered unto God. Cain just brought whatever he wanted to. God expects us to bring our very best, even though your very best and whatever you do might be no comparison to what someone else does in the same field of work or whatever it may be, in worship and in whatever you do. Someone else might be able to do it better. But if they can do it better in a better perfection way than what you can, but they're not giving their very best, But you are your very best. God sees that and it respects that versus if you can do really good and you don't give it your very best. God expects you to give it all you have to the very best, to your ability, to what you have, and don't compare it to someone else. There's nothing wrong to seek after, to excel and do something better. That's a good thing. That's growing. Even in spiritually, it is good to seek for more and continue to grow. That's very good because God takes us from glory to glory. That means you're maturing, you're growing. But if you are a new believer in Christ Jesus and you don't know much and you don't give everything you have, it's in vain. It's not beneficial for your life. Give everything you have, give it the best you have for the glory of God. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about my own personal gain. We're here to encourage one another, to build each other up. And if you see someone excelling above you, encourage them. Because they need the encouragement just as much as you do. Encourage one another. Building it. That's why I love to be coming together. This is my favorite time of the week, is coming together and worshiping and fellowshipping together in Christ Jesus, because you encourage me. You build me up. You are a strength to me. And I want to return that to you. And I want to give my very best for you. In Numbers chapter 18, verses 12 says, "All the best oil and all the best wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee." And in 18:29 says, "Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heaving offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hollow parts thereof out of it." And in 30 says, "Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as an increase of the threshing floor, and as an increase of the wine press." And 31 says, "And ye shall eat in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation, and ye shall bear no sin for the reason of it. When ye have heaved from the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Give your best in all you do. Do everything as unto the Lord." I just want to encourage each one of you. It's been a really encouragement to me. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Share your testimony for the goodness of God and everything you do, and worship the Lord. When you worship the Lord, worshiping from here, not here, from here. Because out of your belly comes living water from the Spirit of God. Worship from here, deep down within. Don't worry about how your neighbor's worshiping. This is just an encouragement that has just been encouraging for myself, is don't worry about how your neighbor is worshiping. Worship the Lord with all that you have and all that you are, and give it your very best. Because there is power that comes from your worship. When you give it your very best, there is strongholds that are broken in worship. I just want to encourage each one of you. Let's focus spiritually minded to one another. Just ask the worship team to come forward. And let's keep our focus in spiritually minded and eternal minded in Christ Jesus. Because in Romans 8, chapter 1 says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." For you are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. I just want to encourage each one of you to continue to press on. Don't give up. Press forward. Press on. Hard times and tribulations will come. Because Jesus, that was a promise from Jesus. He said, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. But he has given us the power and the strength to rise above it. To press on, to press forward, to press through. And I just had to think of the songs that we were singing this morning. Very powerful songs and encouraging words. Words of praising and worshiping the Lord. For through the storm, he will bring the calm. He will bring peace in your heart. And everlasting peace. So keep on holding on. And press forward in Christ Jesus. I just want to bless each one of you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, I thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you've given us. The sacrifice of your Son, that you have given us a straight way to your kingdom. You have given us an open veil that was torn, that we can enter into the Holy of Holies with our requests before you, Lord. That we can be redeemed and set free. That we can be healed. And I just ask, Father, that you minister to us. And that we continue to press on into your word. Being an encouragement. And that we do our best. We give our best. We offer up our best. Everything that we are. We surrender all unto you, God. Father, I give you thanks. Thank you for your mercy and grace. For you know that we are human, that we are flesh, that we struggle, that we stumble and fall. But in you, Christ, you raise us up again and you move us on. For there's no condemnation in you. The spirit of condemnation, you are broken. You are broken in this place for the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. We are able to rise above, for Satan has been put under the feet of Jesus and it was conquered when Jesus rose again. Death was conquered and we have a new life in you. We can rise above and press on. Father, I just bless each one today in the name of Jesus. That as we go forth, Lord, that you give us the courage, you give us the strength for each day. And all that we do and say is for your glory and honor. That we're able to impact those who we are around. That your love flows through us unto others. Father, I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.